representatives of the Yemeni government, and furthermore, they're tortured. And the types of torture that they are forced to endure include beatings with clubs and cables, being suspended by ropes, being crucified, being electrocuted, being put into solitary confinement, and in many cases they are not given proper medical attention. Many die and have disappeared into these Saudi prisons, never to emerge again.
In their all-out war, the Saudis and their allies have brutally tried to deprive the Yemeni nation of everything, including basic foodstuff. Before the war, the fishing sector in Yemen was the country's second largest economic sector after oil, producing about 450,000 tons of seafood annually. It provided a livelihood for over 2.5 million Yemenis living along the Red Sea coast and the Gulf of Aden, according to Yemeni studies.
So by targeting the fishermen and the fishing industry, the Saudi coalition is targeting as well the entire Yemeni people, in that it's trying to destroy the resistance of the Yemeni people to the illegal Saudi, US, UK, Israeli war on them and the occupation of their country. It's like a siege, a medieval siege of the city. What the Saudi coalition is trying to do is starve the Yemeni people into submission through hunger and misery, and of course their indiscriminate attacks on civilians, in order that the Yemeni people will give up and surrender and endure the permanent Saudi occupation. So that's the purpose behind the attack on the fishermen.
Today, being a fisherman in Yemen is among the most dangerous job, and many times an impossible one, as many of the country's coastal waters and islands have been restricted areas for Yemeni fishermen since 2015. Fishing boats, ports, and processing sites have been systematically destroyed or damaged, and many fishermen have lost their lives. Suleiman, 45, is a fisherman from Hodeidah. He says, "I know many fishermen who have been killed at sea and in the fish market. They were without sin and had no connection to politics or the state." The current statistics depict clearly the gravity of the situation. Nearly one-third of agricultural production and fishing has disappeared since the start of the war. It's also inflicted up to $6.9 billion in damage to the fishery sector, including harbors, landing centers, and boats. At least 334 fishermen have been reported killed or injured since 2015.
The Yemeni fishermen report that they have been harassed and attacked while they have gotten too close, for the comfort of the Saudi coalition, to two islands in particular. One island is called Socotra, and the other one is called Mayun. One sits at the mouth of the Gulf of Aden, and the other one sits at the mouth of the Red Sea. And most of the shipping of the world passes daily past these two islands. And what the hidden agenda is here is that the Saudi coalition is acting on the in support of the U.S. government, U.S. empire, which is seeking to undermine and prevent the People's Republic of China from accomplishing its Belt and Road Initiative, its new Silk Road, which is a trade route that it's trying to establish to expand its trade across South Asia, into Africa, and into Europe.
At a time when 80% of Yemen's 30 million population is in need of humanitarian aid, working for Saudi forces sometimes becomes the only source of livelihood. The fishermen who refuse to join the enemy's camp are always subject to arrest, torture, and death for fishing in Yemen's territorial waters.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. It is my absolute honor and pleasure to be with you guys today, and of course, with my wonderful friend and sister Razia Shamani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's really an honor for me to be here.
So we've been discussing the whole process of an egg being fertilized by a sperm, the problems that each side could experience, the solutions that science has provided us with, should one choose to have children.
So there are like a lot of points. Well, we've been talking about like medical approaches to these problems.
Exactly.
There are like some traditional approaches as well.
Let's talk more about
that.
Because a lot of people nowadays, I feel, are...
going towards the
traditional
medicine.
Herbal stuff.
Right.
They've become so paranoid.
First of all, they're very costly.
Mm. Yes.
They're so on your nerves because really they are very expensive, and the chances are like you can have like 50-50% like chances of getting pregnant or
not getting pregnant. And you have to invest so much in it.
Right. And you have to go through a phase of 2 to 3, like for IVF, you have to go through a phase of, I think, 2-3 months of having to going to the doctor, like to the gynecologist every single day. So it's really difficult for a woman to go through all these.
It really is.
So one thing that we have to know is that if you want to have a healthy child and if you don't want to have any miscarriages, you have to have a very strong sperm.
So it has more to do with the sperm?
No, both of them.
Now
I'm talking about the man's reproductive system,
talking about the sperm.
But also we're going to talk about the uterus as well. Mm. But now, you know, we actually have hadith that it suggests so many different kinds of fruits or herbs to be used by men if they want
to
have like
sperm.
A strong body. And there are more chances of miscarriages when the sperm is not strong enough.
Mm.
So lately I've heard many cases in my friends and family where the sperm was not strong enough. And then after about a couple of weeks, like 3-4 weeks, there was a miscarriage.
Right.
Or there was an empty pregnancy sac.
Oh,
right. So it's like very kind of heartbreaking kind of situation, especially for women.
Exactly.
Because you expect
she had all her hopes
and dreams.
You felt it grow, but it was empty all along.
Exactly. What are the causes of infertility
in
men? And actually, researchers do not know the exact answer to these questions. Yeah, but there are some researches that have been done, and it is believed that, for example, the mobile waves.
Uh-huh, all these radio waves.
Exactly,
oh God,
the radio
so
waves. Pesticides that are used in the agriculture, impurities in like air pollution that we have a lot in like major metropolitan cities, preservatives in food, the psychological
stress
of a man, the amount of stress exactly that men have these days at work.
I mean, in the Western world, they're trying to encourage and advocate that more, but they're like going to the other extreme and stripping the man of his masculinity altogether and promoting homosexuality.
But at the same time, you do expect men to be like the qawwam. And this qawwam, I'm not saying that like you don't have to pamper them, you don't have to show love and respect to them.
Mm.
But perhaps the kind of pampering that a man needs is like so much different than a pampering that a woman needs. Like, you know, a woman needs to be heard. She needs to be shown love by words and by, you know, by action. But I think for a man, if you want to show love to a man and if you really want to show that you respect the personality of a man, is to accept his decisions in life. It's like to
That's
accept
really
him as a man in life.
I think it's like society in general has to an extent failed. It's just failed. It's failed
Why?
Men and women. It's failed in protecting and empowering women, and it's failed in training and supporting men.
Uh-huh.
And I feel that especially now, 2021, 21st century, it's turned into this war of the sexes, mm-hmm. and it's such a rivalry. And in the name of equal rights and feminism and human rights and stuff like that, so many lines have been blurred, mm-hmm. so many definitions and descriptions have been confused and misunderstood. It's the whole thing is such a mess right now, I feel. And everyone it's taking a toll on everyone, men and women. We'll be back after a short break, so stay tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
A lot of religious and non-religious couples these days really truly believe that it's the man and the woman together who have to make decisions in life. Mm-hmm. And as you said, why should women listen to men's decisions, and why do they have to respect them? Is this what you said?
No. In the cases where it's stupid decisions because the man hasn't been trained right, provided
uh-huh.
the proper upbringing and training.
Yeah. Well, that's a different scenario.
To make sound, proper decisions in life.
Yeah, but sometimes they will have to make mistakes in order to learn.
Yeah, but you make the mistake and me and my kids pay for it. I mean, in which universe is that fair?
No, I'm talking about a man who has been raised in a family where from early in his, in his childhood, his father specifically and then his mother were very careful on how they train him and how they prepare him to be in charge of a family later in his life. So entrusting him with responsibilities, little responsibilities, teaching him to spend for his family, teaching mm-hmm. him to make wise choices in life.
Yep.
So by the time he's in his early 20s and he has, reached mental maturity and everything, he can really, of course, all people make mistakes, but if brought up in the in a
correct
very
way.
Sane way, mm-hmm. then they can make very good decisions. And actually, this is a responsibility. This is actually, I think, a blessing for women to lift that responsibility from a woman's shoulder.
I kind of agree and I kind of disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
There's some one thing on the regarding qawamiyya.
Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree. I dare not disagree with
the Quran
of Allah, verses of revelation, but the whole the man is supposed to be the decision maker. I mean, even when we look back in the Sunnah, this is not the topic of our discussion,
mm-hmm.
but I felt like it needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at the Sunnah of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, in Surah Al-Insan, the orphan and the captive and the beggar come to Amir al-Mu'mineen's door. Amir al-Mu'mineen doesn't go, beggar, we do the right thing, Fatima, bring bread, give to
mm-hmm.
them. He goes and he asks Fatima, do we have bread at home? And Sayyidah Fatima says, this is the only loaf of bread we have.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to them, right? So where was Amir al-Mu'mineen's, I'm the decision maker, and Fatima, you listen to me, even if you're the daughter of the Prophet of God. Where was that? Or even in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he interacted with Sayyidah Khadija, the whole Sha'b of Abi Talib, the valley of Abi Talib, it was funded and it was supported by the wealth of Khadija.
Mm-hmm.
Did Rasulullah come and say, as the decision maker, even though the money is not mine, I say, we don't use your money? Or any other, Rasulullah wouldn't do that because he's a sound, responsible, logical man.
Well, I think you're saying these because when I tell you that men are the decision makers, the picture that pops into your mind is like a man who is very aggressive and whose wife is so under him
and
in
docile
everything.
And mean.
Exactly. And so you this is such a very cruel picture.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what I mean. Actually, I think we have already talked about this qawamiyya of men in all other episodes that we had.
Mm-hmm.
So the audience can refer to those programs, but when you look at, just shortly to wrap up this program, when you look at the seerah or the tradition of the infallibles, you see that, first of all, counseling, in a lot of situations, no argument if a man and woman get married together based on, you know, a harmony of thought and, you know, based on kafwiya, like they are in the same,
compatibility.
They are like two compatible people. In many cases, they would agree with each other. Like they would make their decisions together in life. It's not like I make the decisions and you stay quiet, right? Mm. It's like they together come up because they're friends and they spend a lot of quality time together. And based on the hadith that says when a man spends time with his wife, it's like more valuable than him doing i'tikaf in the mosque of Rasulullah, right? So this means that their family time, we're thinking of a family, a Muslim family is pictured in a way that there is a lot of friendship between the spouses, right? There's a lot of good, sound, you know, partnership between the two of them. But in cases where there is, like, they talk and he consults him like the noble prophet consulted some women, some wise women throughout his life. And in cases where there is a disagreement and one decision has to be made, then these are the places where the man's wordings are the final words.
Let's just mention one or two methods for men for healthier sperm counts and whatnot, just to close this show, and inshallah ta'ala we'll discuss it more broadly in further episodes.
A lot of fruits and vegetables have been mentioned in our ahadith to be used by men for empowering them and helping them with their fertility, one of which is melon.
And I was seriously?
Yeah, seriously. You know, in Farsi, we call it kharbuz, because melon is, like, you don't know what kind of melon you're talking about when you say it in English, right? So you have the watermelon, you have like five different kinds of melons even in Iran, right? So when you say melon, I was actually, Zainab, reading in an article today that watermelon increases libido, right? And it's also a natural Viagra.
Interesting.
And it treats erectile dysfunction, or ED.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's incredible that the world of fruits and vegetables, how they can help people with problems. You know, actually, it's a matter of lifestyle as well. That
definitely.
You know, to have the right
diet.
Nutrition and diet in your everyday food.
Thank you so very much, Sister Razia, darling.
Welcome.
And thank you to our listeners for being with us on today's episode of Muslim Lady. Until next time, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the Lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer.
God created us from one male and one female, and made us into nations and tribes, so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history, just as it has mentioned such men. and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us start the day with a short but sweet saying from Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Raza, peace be upon him. Refrain from using unlawfully obtained construction materials in your building, for these will ruin it.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Light.
A Jordanian woman is receiving high demands for the soaps she produces. Why? Because she uses an unusual ingredient. Lara Al-Titi makes soap out of camel milk. She tours different cities in Jordan to find the best camel farms for her business. Titi uses camel milk as the main ingredient for the soaps she produces. That's because she says it has rich benefits and contains more vitamins than cow's milk.
The first stage includes weighing the soap, and I include different kinds of oil to preserve the quality of the soap and its therapeutic benefit. We need to have high foam and tough consistency, and we don't want it to be rancid. We place high importance on the therapeutic material that we add during the production process.
Titi started her soap line at home using a manual process and then expanded it to an independent workshop. Her soap line has now become very popular in Jordan. Titi produces more than 4,000 soap bars a month. She sells them to both domestic and international customers.
The German firm's electric air taxi takes its first flight at a show in an airport near the French capital, Paris. Volocopter's flying taxi, which looks like a tiny helicopter, took off and landed vertically over the airport with no passenger on board during a three-minute trial. Aside from its two-passenger capacity, the aircraft also has some room for luggage. It flew a 500-meter route at speeds of up to 30 kilometers per hour and 30 meters high along the airfield. The flying taxi service would first be operated by a licensed pilot, but the flight would be fully automated over a period of time.
With respect to regulation, initially we will have a fully certified, fully licensed helicopter pilot, just to fit into existing regulation. But we believe over time it can be much simpler to obtain such an operating license for a volocopter. And of course, in the last instance, we want to take a pilot requirement out, and we want these vehicles to fly fully automated. So you will not need a pilot license anymore. You can just summon the volocopter. It will come and pick you up and bring you safely to your destination.
The German firm is entering the urban mobility market with high hopes of playing a major role in the infant industry. Volocopter says its objective is to have a service in operation for 2024 for the 2024 Olympic Games. Walking around the city without shoes can be delightful. If you're interested in the experience, visit the Russian capital. A 3.5-kilometer long barefoot trail has recently opened in Moscow's Elk Island Park. It's made of various materials such as pine bark, beach pebbles, and clay. Taking around 40 minutes to complete, the path attracts hundreds of visitors every day. However, some people find it difficult to walk without shoes, calling the path a torture trail. A zoo in Turkey has welcomed a baby elephant from an endangered species. The birth of a female calf at Izmir Wildlife Park has caused excitement in keepers and visitors. The calf, yet to be named, is the third offspring of parents from Asian species. The International Union for the Conservation of Nature classifies the Asian elephant as endangered due to their rapid decline in the wild. The Asian elephants are primarily threatened by poaching, fragmentation, and loss and degradation of habitat. Currently, around 20 to 40,000 Asian elephants are living across the world, five of which inhabiting Turkey's Izmir Zoo.
Over 300 classic vehicles have taken part in a retro rally across Estonia. The 1,000-kilometer rally kicked off in the town of Paide. It drew participants from Latvia and Finland. Their motto is Straight Ahead to the Past. The vintage cars participated in the event are mostly produced between 1930 and 1980. Experts say all the vehicles are in good condition. However, they doubt if all the vehicles can make it to the end of the five-day rally. A Palestinian artist has come up with the idea of making children feel happy after the recent Israeli aggression on the besieged Gaza Strip left many people dead. Amna Sami is a young Palestinian artist who has gathered Palestinian kids in the city of Beit Lahia, north of Gaza. That's where houses were destroyed by Israeli airstrikes and bombings during the recent aggression on the territory. Sami draws the Palestinian flag as well as the map of Palestine on children's cheeks as patriotic symbols. She says she does that to say that these people in the midst of destruction will become strong again. Sami says by painting on kids' faces, she wants to send a message to the world.
I'm sending a message to the world that our children should live like other children in the world, away from danger and destruction. It is their right in life to live as children in a safe place, a place that gives them something to live a normal life.
Palestinian kids say they feel happy when Sami paints their faces. The Israeli regime launched its devastating onslaught on Gaza in early May. At least 256 Palestinians, including 66 children, were killed during the 11-day war. A Turkish band has found musical inspiration in a most unlikely place, a local landfill. Here's more. Members of Funk Istanbul have assembled instruments from the dump in a junkyard in Istanbul. They used their ingenious new tools to play Turkish folk music. The band aims to raise awareness about recycling. Turkey is one of the biggest producers of municipal waste globally. The country has a low recycling rate. Only 12% of waste is repurposed there.
Techno.
technology has come in handy to rescue animals in disaster zones. American cinematographer Douglas Thrun has used a high-tech infrared drone to save animals from fire or storm, or even those who are stuck in trees. The drone he uses has a large thermal camera, a spotlight, and zoom lens. The good point is that the aerial vehicle does not make too much noise, therefore it does not scare away animals.
So what I do is I fly infrared drones primarily at night over disaster areas after a hurricane or a fire hits, and I look for people's pets, whether it be cats or dogs, and I also look for injured wildlife, and then either I or rescue crews will go in and rescue the animals after I spot the animals after these natural disasters.
Thrun has so far rescued hundreds of stranded animals in various places in the US and Australia. Emergency services have allowed him to participate in rescue efforts after making sure that the drone works well to achieve its goal.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A video has gone viral showing animals at a U.S. zoo enjoying their bath time becoming clean as a new pimp. Keepers at Chicago's Brookfield Zoo washed the animals to celebrate International Bath Day. From anteaters to rhinos all got sprayed with a water hose. They seemed to love their bath time as it kept them cool in the summer heat. Zoo officials say the occasion is to honor ancient Greek scientist Archimedes, who made a discovery while in the bath. Might be pleased to know life is going back to normal as countries around the world are easing coronavirus restrictions. Disneyland in the French capital of Paris is saying bonjour to visitors once again with all necessary precautions. Bet everyone missed that. The theme park reopened its doors to the public with limited tickets and an online reservation system. All visitors over 6 years old are required to wear face masks and to observe social distancing guidelines. New attractions, including a hotel and various car rides, are also available for guests. Disneyland Paris was shut for over 7 months due to rising COVID-19 infections. This is the first time since January 2020 that all the six Disney resorts are open. Children have their own ways of remembering the dead. In Gaza, Palestinian kids fly kites in memory of their peers who lost their lives in the recent Israeli onslaught. Dozens of kids participated in the event, holding kites bearing the pictures of 66 little victims. According to the organizers, the goal was to send a message to people around the world that Palestinian kids have the right to live a free and happy life. The children said their dream is to fly in the sky without any restrictions or wars. A herd of wild Asian elephants in China has turned into international stars after leaving their natural habitat in Yunnan province. The herd of 15 elephants is said to have left home in southwest China 15 months ago, but it was in April when they grabbed officials' attention after they were spotted by locals. The elephants have so far trekked nearly 500 kilometers across the country. They have traveled through villages and towns and even stopped for a rest. Local authorities have welcomed these mammoth travelers with treats of sweet corn and bananas. They are monitoring the elephants' movements with drones while keeping them away from residential areas.
Chinese grandma has given a dazzling display of her masterly kung fu performance at a martial arts competition. The 98-year-old woman and her son took the stage as a curtain raiser to the event. The duo put on a kung fu show before a large crowd of spectators who were impressed by her skillful gestures. She was invited to the competition to act as a judge.
I started practicing martial arts when I was only 5. I would box every day, learning movements like chopping, pushing palm, and thrusting palm. Though I am old now, my strength hasn't gone.
Zhang says she has inherited her family's martial arts. She's rumored to have a sense of justice from a very young age and try to help others, which earned her quite a reputation where she lives. Traditional martial arts have been passed down in the Zhongqing village located in Zhejiang province for 500 years. Go to Italy, where Mount Etna has put on an eye-catching show with its spectacular eruptions. Red-hot lava fountains and plumes of smoke spewed up into the sky. The main eruption was located at the southeastern crater of the volcano. Mount Etna is Europe's tallest active volcano. It's located above the Sicilian town of Catania. It often erupts but rarely causes damage. However, nearby residents have to deal with ash showers. Geological studies show that Mount Etna has been active for more than 2 million years now. Egypt has opened its first archaeological replica factory in an attempt to promote its culture worldwide. The factory was inaugurated in response to people's demand for having detailed copies of ancient treasures. So far, over 6,400 high-quality replicas of ancient Egyptian artifacts have been produced. More than 150 artists work to make the goods out of stone, wood, and even gold.
The materials with which these are made are high quality. The highest and most elegant materials are being used to make these samples, and the materials are very close to those used to make the original artifacts.
The models have certificates showing that they are identical copies of the original artifacts. Each replica also has a barcode that provides extra information about the item. The factory is located in Kayuba, about 35 kilometers northeast of the capital, Cairo.
Now, a lot of people don't like rats and find them disgusting most of the time. However, the rodents are doing life-saving work in Cambodia. Now, the Southeast Asian nation has deployed a new squad of African giant pouched rats to sniff out old landmines. The new recruits have shown an exceptional ability at their task, with their handlers claiming 100% accuracy. There are now nearly 50 demining rats working in the field in Cambodia. The country started using the animal services in 2016, and they have helped detect and clear hundreds of landmines since. Last year, an especially heroic rat called Magawa attracted global fame after receiving a gold medal for his work. The hero rat, who is now retired, detected over 71 landmines.
A muralist from Greece is blending mythology with graffiti and street art to depict how COVID-19 has impacted lives around the globe. Ficus Antonios has painted the walls of many cities around the globe. He is now in the Cypriot capital, Nicosia, to continue his work. His latest artwork depicts Americus, a Cypriot mythical figure who was punished by the gods and turned into a plant. The Greek artist believes this theme is similar to the situation people around the globe have experienced since the pandemic began. He explains many people have grown roots because they're staying in one place for so long.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic of this episode is resorting to Ahlul Bayt.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan.
Today, Thursday, is the 13th of Zilqa'dah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 3rd of the month of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We choose chapter 4 from the Holy Quran, verse 59. Let's listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا.
O you who have believed, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority among you. And if you disagree over anything, refer it to Allah and the Messenger, if you should believe in Allah and the Last Day. That is the best way and best in result.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The name of those charged with authority is mentioned next to the names of Allah and the Apostle, accompanied with an absolute obedience. This is a sign to show that the one in charge of Islamic government should be qualified with a high saintliness. Based on many traditions, as was mentioned before in the commentary of the verse, the purpose of the phrase, those charged with authority, is Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, every day for 15 minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light. Be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every pond.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain.
The question of this episode of today's special, why is it necessary for the Imam to be infallible? Since the Imam is to preserve and explain religion and train individuals, he should be able to be trusted 100%, and such can only be accomplished if he is infallible. In the case of an Imam sinning, he will lose his respect and admiration and will no longer be followed, defeating the whole purpose of having an imam in the first place. If the imam wasn't to be infallible and was to be prone to sin, his condemnation would be obligatory upon others as a form of enjoining good and forbidding evil, while such an encounter with the imam would first of all once again defeat the purpose of imamate, and secondly be in contradiction with verse 59 of Surah Nisa. Because in this verse, the absolute obedience of the Imam and respect for his rank has been demanded.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wabin Ista'in. In this episode, we are going to discuss some important aspects of seeking support of the infallible imams. Now we find that, okay, the Ahl al-Bayt, and especially the teachings, safeguard us against all kinds of dangers that we may receive. And this is certainly a grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that He has provided not only we Muslims or Shi'is, but all mankind with such a safe place and safe and safeguarding personality, with whom we may feel not only very secured, but also very strengthened and very inspired. Okay, and in this regard, we find that the danger of some threats or some harms from other people or other schools of thought cannot be denied. In this regard, we find that, okay, whom we should refer to? Who is our shelter? Where should we seek refuge and guidance? Okay, the point is that the infallible imams and the infallibles in general are regarded as safeguarded place of, or seats of receiving not only light, knowledge, but also support for continuing a life. Not only biological life, but also spiritual life. In the case of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Holy Quran is assertive in that وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. So long as you are among the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't punish them. Even the ordinary wrongdoers in the Muslim community.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim innaka hamid.
How to respect Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. In order to truly respect someone, one must fully understand who they are and what they stand for or what they represent. Ahlul Bayt were known to be the acme in integrity, honesty, sincerity, and earnestness. The Ahlul Bayt are those who have been sent down by Allah, pure and free from all sin. They are guardians of Islam and guides sent by Allah to mankind to assist us on staying on the right path. They should be respected as a gift from Allah and because of the sacrifices they made in order for message and teachings of Allah to reach us.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Today's special from IRIB English Radio. And now morality of Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza, peace be upon him. You want to learn more about his character? This is one of his characteristics, a worker's wage. Sulaiman ibn Jafar has reported, I was with Imam Reza for doing a task. I had the intention to go back home, but the Imam asked me to stay with him that night. He set off for the Imam's house, but we arrived at the sunset. On entering the house, Imam Reza had a glance at his slaves, who were busy building a stable with mud. He suddenly saw a black worker who was not his slave. When he asked about him, he said, they said, he's helping us and we will give him some money at the end. The Imam asked, did you talk about his wage? They said, he's satisfied with what we will give him. Imam Reza was upset on hearing this. I said, may I be your ransom? Why are you so upset? Imam said, "Had I not prohibited you from employing people without first coming to agreement about their wage? Know that if a person works for you without his wage being fixed, if you give three times his wage, he will think that you have not paid his due wage. But if you fix his wage first and then pay it, he will appreciate your promise, and even if you pay a little extra money to him, he will become grateful."
Infallible, right? They must be error-free, and that's how we trust them. Any command that the imam gives us, how do I trust that this command is right, is just, and will bring me closer to God? Only if the imam is infallible, ma'soom, error-free. Is there any evidence in the Quran that the imam, the khalifa, must be infallible or no? Surah An-Nisa, that's chapter 4 of the Holy Quran, verse 59. Surah An-Nisa, verse 59. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala state in this verse? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ati'u Allah. O you who believe, obey Allah. Question, do we obey Allah unconditionally or with conditions? Meaning, if God gets it right, we obey Him. Or no, it's unconditional. Obviously, it's unconditional. We obey Allah no matter what, because Allah is the source of all goodness. So any command God gives us, we obey unconditionally. So the Quran says, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ, obey God. وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ, and obey the messenger, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Conditionally or unconditionally. See, when the Quran tells us obey Allah and the messenger, that means just like you obey God in all matters, you ought to obey the Prophet in all matters. That means you obey the Prophet unconditionally. And this can only make sense, to obey the Prophet unconditionally, only and only if the Prophet is ma'soom, only if the Prophet is infallible. So you obey him no matter what. You obey him unconditionally. Okay, the verse does not stop there. What does Allah say after that? أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ, number one. وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ, number two. وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, and obey the guardians amongst you. Those who have authority. We automatically know that whoever أُولِي الْأَمْرِ are, they must be infallible. Because God is commanding us to obey them just like we obey the Prophet and just like we obey Allah unconditionally. Same context, same sentence in the verse of the Holy Quran. So that means ulil amr are infallible. And the ulil amr, when we go and examine the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he makes it very clear that the ulil amr are his Ahlul Bayt, the Imams of Ahlul Bayt.
And with this nice and interesting story, we finish this episode of today's special. Thank you very much for joining us till this time. And till another greetings, we bid you goodbye. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami, Lafata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami, Lafata illa
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.